in essence, I think it was an artist-friendly record company. They really wanted to unleash that latent talent that was there and see what happened. And, you know, a lot of chaos ensued, but some great music came out of it as well.
This is the Vinyl Garage.
And a one, and a two. There's a place where I can go, and that's where I wanna be. I'm saying goodbye to you good people, for I found a place for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gonna go way out,
way out.
That's where the fun is, way out,
way out.
That's where the sun is, way out.
Welcome to the Vinyl Garage. I'm Dave Nelson, your host, and for the next 60 minutes, we'll explore the lesser-heard side of rock, a world consisting of album cuts and B-sides, along with a healthy dose of vinyl history and commentary, from the blues of the 30s to today's new releases. We have a lot to do, so let's get started. The next period of the Apple Records story begins with the band Badfinger. Coming off the huge success of the song Day After Day, Apple went back to the straight-up LP and pulled Baby Blue, Apple 1844, as a single, their last to chart in the top 20. Then a brother team from Trenton, New Jersey, Lon and Derek Van Eaton, and their only U.S. single, number 1845, Harrison produced Sweet Music. The song is recorded at Abbey Road Studios and featured along with Harrison, Peter Frampton, and Ringo.
Yes, I got what I deserve. Kept you waiting there too long, my love. All that time without a word. Didn't know you'd think that I'd forget. I'd regret
heart is there. And I work and try my best to bring peace to everyone. The way to help them change their ways, the way to have them blessed. Just let them hear our guitars and feel the singing in their souls. Know the words by heart, with sweet music, with sweet music, with sweet music, with sweet music. If I could live my life again, I'd live it as a song, bringing peace to everyone. Why don't you be a tambourine, and your friend could be a drum? Feel that rhythm loud and strong,
numbers 1846 and 1847, were by John and Paul respectively, featuring the same subject, Northern Ireland. Now, I can't imagine there was any collaboration between the two. They really didn't want to have anything to do with each other at this point in their career, so for each to write a song so similar, criminalizing Britain's meddling in Ireland is surprising. But what is not surprising is the way each went about it. The more radical John wrote some searing lyrics, some at the time considered objectionable. Paul, although equally accusatory, went a more friendly, poppy route. The you can catch more flies with honey technique. I wouldn't expect anything less from the Pretty Beetle. John's single, The Luck of the Irish, was pulled from release, but it was included on his Sometime in New York LP. But Paul, not so naively, soldiered on with Give Ireland Back to the Irish, complete with custom labels, festooned with shamrocks, and a title sleeve featuring the lyrics so you can't mistake what was being sung. It was promptly banned by the BBC. Now a note to all, don't let your government control the radio stations. The results in the US were pretty much the same. We didn't ban it. It died a natural death. We just didn't care about Northern Ireland, and besides, it was a marginal song at best. Despite no airplay in Britain, it managed number 16 in the UK charts. And we play it annually, although only on St. Paddy's Day.
If you had the luck of the Irish, you'd be sorry and wish you were dead. should have the luck of the Irish, and you'd wish you was English instead. A thousand years of torture and hunger drove the people away from their land, a land full of beauty and wonder was raped by the British brigands.
Tremendous. Would you should he lie down?
And if the previous two weren't bad enough, John's next, Apple 1848, had no problem offending nearly everyone. So we're skipping on to number 1849, Ringo's Back Off Boogaloo. Finally a great, fun song that got Apple back on track. So who is this Ringo guy and why is he eclipsing the other three in chart placement? That's something the others would ask many times more to come. Hodge produced only two singles for Apple before he faded away. The first, Apple 1850, was We're On Our Way. It was a really good song that did make it into the top 50. He went on to record two more 45s for RCA before calling it quits. The next Apple release took a little heat, but this time from critics. Paul's Mary Had a Little Lamb, Apple 1851. Paul's initial response was that the song was his reaction to the BBC for banning his Irish single. His little way of thumbing, or some other digit, his nose at the broadcaster saying, "Ban this one." But in a 1980 interview, he changed his tune. The interview was recorded for a Columbia Records promotional release and a Musician magazine story by Vic Garbarini. Here's Paul.
The word round about the time was that I'd released Give Ireland Back to the Irish. It had been banned, or Hi, 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 one of them. Which, Ireland was political song, so it was banned. Hi, Hi, Hi was supposed to be drugs and sex. I was banned. And then the next single was Mary Had a Little Lamb, and people thought it was like my way of saying, okay, try and ban this.
Right.
But it actually wasn't. It was actually because my kids were very young, and anything I sang to them didn't make sense other than stuff like that. Once I started doing Bar Bar Black Sheep, they went crazy. But they were my audience. So I just did it as a single, you know. Again, because I just thought, well, there are children in the world, you know, we're not all grown up yet. And so for kids, that's hopefully a kids record. We're not, hopefully I'm not grown up. That's the worst is going to be to actually be grown up. But I'm doing quite well, actually, on that score. I haven't grown up an awful lot. But, you know, you can say all of that stuff about it. I tend to just sort of dismiss it a bit and just say I've done some songs that I would think are really good. I've done some songs I don't think quite came off. Some I hate. But in the kind of whole story of it all, I've done enough to satisfy myself that I'm okay. That's basically all I'm looking for, you know, like most other people.
Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. Everywhere that Mary went, that lamb was sure to go.
Everybody's
Ringo was apparently the one responsible for the Sundown Playboys, a Cajun band from Louisiana, and their one and only Apple single, Saturday Night Special, Apple 1852. The single was also released as a very limited 78 RPM in the UK. Thankfully, an album of Cajun party music didn't materialize. What were they thinking? Well, I'm thinking you're listening to The Vinyl Garage. If you think the Northern Ireland stuff was controversial, Yoko's Now or Never, Apple 1853, will change that. It wasn't the song itself, but the picture sleeve that proved to be the problem. It featured a photograph by Army photographer Ron Haberly of the South Vietnamese village My Lai after Charlie Company massacred approximately 450 civilians. The song, written by Yoko, is really quite good, and many of the lyrics still ring true today. And it was no coincidence that Now or Never was only intended for the U.S. market. And it didn't go over well at the time that these two British, John and Yoko, were preaching to us regarding Vietnam. But in retrospect, they weren't wrong. It's unfortunate that Yoko can't sing. Her work is mostly dismissed because of this fact, but the song is worth hearing. And let's face it, if Bob Dylan wrote and performed it, we'd be calling it genius.
Are we gonna keep pushing our children to drugs? Are we gonna keep driving them insane? Are we gonna keep laying empty words and fists? Are we gonna be remembered as the century that failed? People of America, when will we learn? It's now or never. There's no time to lose. Are we gonna keep sending people of America, when?
The Elephant's Memory was a band John and Yoko ran into while in New York City, and they would, for the most part, become their backing band in studio and live. Liberation Special, Apple 1854, would be their only single for the label. It was also found on their self-titled LP. Apple 1855 was Mary Hopkins' Knock Knock Who's There, another cutesy record. And Paul's second band single, as we previously heard, was Hi, 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 Apple 1857. The BBC was batting 2-for-3. Next, Chris Hodges' second and last single for Apple, Goodbye, Sweet Lorraine, Apple 1858.
The snow is blowing wild in the sky. Tears begin to fall from my eyes. So goodbye.
Apple 1859 was the incredibly depressing Death of Samantha, a single by Yoko, sung, sort of, in stereotypical Yoko, which is not necessarily good, fashion. Death of Samantha would also become the name for an 80s punk rock band from Cleveland.
And when I go away, I know my heart can stay. It's understood, it's in the hands of my love, and my love does it go. Whoa, 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 whoa. My love.
misunderstood. It's everywhere with my love.
Apple's first single to fit the silly love songs mold was Apple 1861, My Love. It was pretty much the only saving grace of the Red Rose Speedway LP. The single reached number one in the US and number nine in the UK. Apple 1862 is another number one single for the label and George Harrison, and the first taken from the Living in a Material World LP, an album delayed so as to allow the Beatles 62-66 and 67-70, also known as the Red and the Blue albums, to be released along with Paul's Red Rose Speedway. Ironically, it replaced Paul's My Love for the number one slot, and Give Me Love itself was soon to be replaced by former Apple artist Billy Preston. It would be the only single released from the album since Don't Let Me Wait Too Long, a signed Apple 1866, would soon be canceled. Thank you for joining the Vinyl Garage this week as we explored a very eclectic period in the Apple Records catalog. It was becoming very clear that the label was forsaking anything that was non-Beatles. Join us next week as we wrap up the Apple Records story. You can keep in touch with The Garage at facebook.com/Vinyl Garage Show, where you can also listen to past shows at your leisure. So until next week, this is Dave Nelson. Thanks for listening.
We hope to make a thing that's free, where people can just come and do and record and not have to ask, could we have another microphone in the studio, because we haven't had a hit yet.
Love you, love you, love you. And in the end.